This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries. Outrageously dependable. All right, ladies and gentlemen, his name is Kyle. My name is Dan, and this is the Man Therapy Podcast. And for a moment there, I thought that I would do like, do you remember the sweaty balls?
Clip
from Saturday Night Live.
Oh yeah.
Or when they the ladies are like an NPR style of interviewing, where it's, let me see if I can do my best NPR impersonation. All right. Today, we're going to be talking with Kyle. Kyle is a professional counselor, and for a living, he likes to make people happy. Kyle, welcome to the show.
Yeah, that's exactly
real it. Low, relaxed, just like no energy type shit.
Yes.
Or we do monster truck, like monster truck arena. Type of a vibe where it's just like, ladies and gentlemen, it's the Man Therapy Podcast. You're going to pay for your whole seat, but you're only going to use the edge, you know?
Ooh, that was good. Did you just make that up, or did you hear that somewhere?
I heard that a long time ago, and it's like a thing I do now. Monster truck voice, or
that's funny.
WWE wrestling. Like promo Macho Man Randy Savage type vibe. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Man Therapy Podcast. All right.
Dude, yeah, we should make a Macho Man like an AI avatar spokesman for our show.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then make
like that. That would be a what would Macho Man be saying? It would have to be something like Man Therapy. Oh, he'd be like, yeah,
in a talking bubble. Yeah. there's one of his famous interviews. I don't remember if he's on Letterman or who he's talking to. And they're asking if men cry. He's like, oh yeah, men need to be able to feel the full range of emotions here. he does a whole little bit about men's mental health. It was awesome.
Yeah. And I think he actually, like in real life, talked a little bit like that. I think he turned the volume up for like the WWE wrestling and him and the Undertaker, or not the Undertaker, Ultimate Warrior. Him and the Ultimate Warrior had the best promos, dude. You know, so.
Oh, anyway, yeah.
Did you watch WWF wrestling?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yep. Way back when it was those guys and Bret the Hitman Hart and Hacksaw Jim Duggan and Jake the Snake. Like that was my era. I fell off after all that.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with anything that happened in WWE. A WWF guy.
Right. So my buddy in high school was really into it, and he got all of the pay-per-views. And then we'd come in and his mom would make a meal and everybody would pay like $10 for $10, come in all you could eat, bring your own drink, and then sit down and watch the event. And that was like in the peak of the NWO and like Big Sexy and Razor Ramon and then Hulk Hogan turned bad guy type of deal.
Yep.
And, yep. Who was the guy? Sweet Chin Music. Shawn Michaels.
Mm-hmm.
Shawn Michaels. And then like, of course, that was WWE, I believe. And then there was still WWF, and they had like bounced back and forth and all that stuff. So yeah, it was fun to go to those and just like get hype and like see two people just like jump Mankind when he would jump off of a ladder onto a bed of nails. And oh, dude, those are some fun memories, man.
Oh, for sure. I slightly regret not going when they'd come to town.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they used to come to Cedar Rapids. Maybe they still do, but they used to come to Cedar Rapids pretty frequently, like I think every year, if not more. And, you know, all the kids in my class that were jacked up about wrestling, I'd be so pumped. And then they'd go and stay up super late and come back like, it was crazy. I saw him headbutt a turnstile and he threw somebody into the crowd. it would have been a spectacle.
Love it.
Just for the spectacle, I think that'd be fun.
Right.
And that was, you know, you were little, did you halfway think it was real? I mean, were you like, there was definitely, when I was really little, I thought, like, there was definitely a part of me that thought it was real.
Oh, yeah, I was real young.
Yeah, when I was real young. Because I would sneak, I think my little brother did this with me. We would get up real early on Saturday morning and turn the TV on, and it would be on, like, super early. And, and I'd get, like, way into the storylines. I'd be like, stop kicking his leg. He's never going to be able to walk again. Leave him alone. Can't you see you're hurting him? You know, this is like...
He has no knee issues. Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah,
that's
right. You know he's got a bad knee. Not the chair.
Look behind you.
That's it. That's right. Just turn around. He's right behind you. Oh, yeah, man. It's like 7-year-old Kyle stressing.
Yeah, yeah. And you probably walk into the kitchen. It's like, Mom, Jimmy Hart got hit with a microphone. He's unconscious.
Yeah, that's right.
And they just drag him out. Yeah.
Yeah, the ref was unconscious. He pinned him and he didn't see it. He totally pinned him. It's not fair. Those guys are cheaters.
Ruined your whole day, and it's all you talk about. Yeah.
I'm not doing anything today. Fuck this.
Hey, bye. By the way, I know adults who are still like that, who are still into the wrestling. Now, here's what I'll say. I know it's designed, right? But dude, falling down, like taking those, they call them bumps, taking those bumps, dude, I don't care who you are. You have to be in shape. You have to know what you're doing. It is a physical activity. It's just the best. It's entertainment, right? Yeah. I mean, real wrestling is even entertainment, right? I like going to watch a high school or a college wrestling match. That's not scripted at all, or going into something saying you're going to win or you're going to lose. Maybe the outcome is scripted, but a lot of the stuff that they do, if you've watched any of those documentaries, it's just like, it's like ballet or a dance routine, but except they're throwing punches and kicks and, you know, they make it, they're actually hitting each other, but it's not like, they're not trying to cold cock anybody out.
Yeah, right. They're extremely physical actors.
Mm-hmm.
Extremely physical actors.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. It's impressive. And some of their athleticism is impressive. I've always liked each person's shtick. You know, the character, the persona they make, the costumes. And then, you know, I just loved when they were on steroids.
Yeah.
Dude. Just seeing
Big
these
Papa
just
Pump.
Specimens. Yeah, dude.
Yeah. You know, these Big Papa big, Pump, Scott dudes. Steiner. Scott Steiner.
Ultimate Warrior is just my ultimate.
Well, he died of it, I think.
Yeah, it's did. But you know what? Yeah.
He lived a good life.
He looked just like his doll. He looked just like an action figure. Like, not a lot of people live up to their action figure. Like, he was more ripped than his action figure.
Right. Right. Yep. Yep. My favorite when I started to get a little older was Big Papa Pump, Scott Steiner. And so he was just yoked out of his mind. Looked like a bodybuilder. And their background was like, They were actually collegiate wrestlers, him and his brother. And, they would, you know, sometimes they would even wrestle each other or things like that. But, he was the Big Bad Booty Daddy. It was his other nickname. And so some of the girls that he would walk to the ring with, or Sable, who is now married to Brock Lesnar, like, you got some of these like really attractive girls. And then you're like, okay, why do I have a tingle in my body when I watch these girls? I don't know. Yeah. Like, what's happening to me? What's happening to me? Yeah. Yep. I got to say one thing while we're talking about this. So I don't know how to say it, so I'm just going to say it. My brother was sitting down watching a Disney cartoon. This was years ago. And I believe it was like, what's a Disney princess who's Native American? Or
Pocahontas?
Pocahontas. Yeah, Pocahontas. And so my nephew, this is completely innocent, goes, "Daddy, why does Pocahontas make my wiener straight?"
Ah.
Dude, it's just like the levels, right? Like levels of becoming a man, right? The levels of, I used to think Jessica Rabbit was smoke show hot.
Right.
Right.
Right. Right.
You know, and that's just that lets you know that everything in your body's working correctly and the hormones are kicking in and you're on a good path.
Yep. 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 Like lots of reasons for that, bud. That's like, and why do they sexualize the characters in kids programming? Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know. There, you know, I think about it and there's not, I guess my version of what is sexual and what is not is different. Like looks like some of the comics, right? Like the movies or like even a comic book, every female had a tight waist, was very voluptuous, the perfect curves, right?
Right.
Artwork. Right. And you look at that and you go, dang, I would love for that. You know, I'd love for her to move next door type of deal. But no. Disney, I don't know. They say that sometimes, but I guess I never really have seen it. Like, I don't know. I don't see a ton of cleavage. And did Frozen have cleavage or not?
I don't remember well enough. It's funny. I've seen that movie a lot of times because my daughter liked it, but I don't remember well enough.
Yeah.
I don't want to mess up my algorithm by looking. I don't want to confuse the internet by going from WWF searches to Frozen.
To Frozen. Yeah, it would be.
Yeah.
Just imagine like someone finding your phone. It's like, what does this guy do? Like, yeah, who is this person?
Yeah.
Yep. That's funny. All right. I want to change topics now. This is in the podcast game. I call this the hard pivot, where we stop bluntly what we're talking about. There is no transition and we go right into the next thing. And I had something kind of pop up into my email, and what it is I get a lot of emails for this podcast about, you know, some media company or marketing company says, "Hey, I got a guy you should have on your show. He just launched a book." It's like all trying to get notoriety for people and things like that. And one of them that came across, I opened it and it was a hypnotherapist. What, like, do you know or have any information or like any experience like working with or knowing what a hypnotherapist does? All right, guys, you know me and I love eating wild game, but I don't eat wild game every single night. Every once in a while, I'll reach for a side of beef. And that's why I trust Omaha Steaks. Because Omaha Steaks are sent directly to my door, I can keep my freezer stocked without having to go to the grocery store. It's honestly like having a trusted butcher and gourmet food shop right at your house. Last week, I pulled out their pure ground ribeye burgers for a quick grill session. The flavor and marbling was unreal, rich, juicy, and miles ahead of any average grocery store meat. Try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, get $35 off with promo code BEEF. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF, for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. I've been trying Underbrush from Nathan and Sons, and it's not really regular gum. It's remineralizing chewing gum, basically an oral care routine in gum form. You brush in the morning and at night, but after lunch, there's a big gap where most of us do nothing for our teeth. Underbrush is made for that moment. Chew it for 5 to 10 minutes, spit it out, and move on. Or keep chewing it if you like the feel of it. It's made with something called hydroxyapatite. That's the same mineral your enamel is made from, and natural saps like mastic and spruce. So it has a firmer, really satisfying chew. The company is only a few years old, and the team is literally making, packing, and shipping gum every day. So if you want a simple daily upgrade for your teeth, check out Underbrush from Nathan & Sons. Check them out today at nathanandsons.com.
Right. Well, just to be super honest, no, it's not within my wheelhouse at all. I know that it's a thing. I know that hypnosis is a thing. I know that a lot of people think that it's not. A lot of people think that it's BS, and I disagree with that. I think that people are a lot more susceptible to hypnosis and suggestion than they realize that they are. And my guess, without knowing any of the literature about it, is that it would probably work really well for some people and maybe not at all for others. And I would also guess that it might work better than people think it would. Like I could see people being like, oh, that's dumb, that would never work for me. And then it might actually work for them. It's an area that I'm interested in. Like if we were to have somebody on that knew a lot about it and wanted to educate us, I would probably have a million questions.
So hypnotherapy is, and this is what I get when I type into Google, a guided therapeutic practice that uses hypnosis to help a client reach a highly focused trance like state of deep relaxation. So, okay. The videos I see, however, are some dude in some like suit walking up to someone sitting in a chair going, relax. And then they're done. They don't, it's like, they just like pass out or they've been roofied or some shit like that.
Right.
And it just, it looks staged. It looks relaxed. Now, I don't know. That's more of what probably like for entertainment, but I don't know. All I know is that one time, not the current stepdad I have, the stepdad before him, he smoked cigarettes and he went to go get hypnotized. And he stopped smoking cigarettes. Because of the like just boom, stopped smoking cigarettes, done. But then he picked up cigars and started smoking cigars instead. So he went from Camels to Swisher Sweets. So I guess the guy wasn't that specific. Like oh, your cigarette days are over. Okay, he wakes up. Oh, I don't have a craving for cigarettes anymore, but I do have a craving for Swisher Sweets. So
give me some cigars.
I don't know. Some cigars.
You know, I think that's the most common association that people have with hypnotherapy is for smoking cessation. And hell, I think smoking cigars is probably way healthier than smoking cigarettes because you're not inhaling the smoke into your lungs. For him. He was sucking cigars.
He smoking cigars, inhaling them. So I don't know. I think it would be fun to go watch a I guess there's the difference, right? A hypnotist and a hypnotherapy are probably two completely different things if I had to guess.
Or they utilize the same skills for very different reasons and outcomes. I've seen people be hypnotized. In one of the psychology classes I took in undergrad, they explained hypnosis and what it is and how it works and how a person has to be susceptible to suggestion in order for it to work. And the professor was basically like, you know, I could go through every single person in this class and like pretty quickly assess if you would be susceptible to hypnosis or not. And then, so you kind of have to be a good candidate for it. And if you're not a good candidate for it, then it's probably not going to work that well for you. Again, I don't know all the literature behind this, so I could be speaking incorrectly here, but I do think it's interesting. And I don't know if you know anybody that's ever done it, but I've known people that have been hypnotized and they would say, I didn't know what I was doing. You know, like it's a really common thing for, they'll have it at like post proms at high schools and stuff. They'll have a hypnotist and, you know, they'll bring a bunch of kids up and hypnotize them. And kids will do things. People will do things extremely out of character. And you can tell that it's real because they are like, there is not a shred of embarrassment. They are not holding themselves back at all. They are just like, you're a chicken. Then all of a sudden they're like the world's best chicken you've ever seen strutting around the stage. Like some kid that, you know, would never in a million years do that in front of his peers. So there's definitely something to it.
Yeah. You know what would be funny is if, I don't know, this would be all made up, but you go to a party or a group setting and you just decide to pick a word, right? And you find a word, right? And every time that word gets said, you're like, you just bark like a dog, right? Like the word outstanding, you hear someone say outstanding and you go, right?
Yeah.
But you do that all the time, but it's just a joke. And it's like, then it's like, dude, what are you doing? Yeah, dude, I went to it. You know, like I got pulled on stage for a fun hypnotist night, but before he could bring me back, the fire alarm get pulled and now I can't find this guy. And so now every time I hear this word, I have to bark and just like do it for a day and just like really throw people off and be like, is he serious?
Yeah, that'd be a good clown. That's what's the famous movie Office Space?
Mm-hmm.
Office Space, mm-hmm. where the guy gets hypnotized to like not hate his job, and then his hypnotist dies in the middle of the session, and he's just left in this chill state for the rest of his life.
Oh yeah, yeah. But would you like living in a state like that? Just like, oh man, almost like you're high. You know, like you're on marijuana. Like just like a, hey man, it's all good, dude. Come on, man. Like let's go. Or if someone's like, hey, you got to do this, and you're like, you know what, man. Thank you very much for coming and talking to me about this, but you know, I'm going to pass today, you know, like,
right. I don't know. It might be awesome. The movie made it look pretty good.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Oh, I get a date, Jennifer Aniston. I just somehow run into this like smoke show of a chick. I don't know. That's the movie.
Right. I like the point. Like, I think the premise of that movie was, you know, the movie's a classic and I love it, but the premise is probably deeper than like how silly the movie was. Like even the scene where he talks to Jennifer Aniston after he got hypnotized and he doesn't care anymore, I think that's actually a pretty good example of how people get in their own way, and like you may as well go shoot your shot. Like if you see a pretty 100%. Woman that you're interested in, that you could casually, confidently, respectfully approach them and not give a shit if they say yes or no. And not have it tied to your ego, not put pressure on yourself, not put pressure on them. Like, I actually really like that scene a lot. He's like, hey, I'm going to want to go out. And she's like, I can't date customers. He's like, well, I'm going to go next door. Come over if you want or don't, whatever. And she's like, whoa. Yeah. I think it would be nice if people's own anxiety didn't get in their way of things like that. Because I think a lot of people count themselves out. I bet there's a lot of guys that could get women, but they count themselves out so they don't.
100%.
Or they get in their own way. Like a guy that's
and
cool.
It's not
cool
even enough. About. Yeah. 100%. It's not even about like women. It's just people in general who they're going through life looking at their surroundings and they say things like, well, I don't want to look bad. I don't want to embarrass myself. If I go out and try something and fail, well, then I'm a failure. And I don't want that to happen. And like all of these things. And no one ever takes any risks, whether that's in a job or asking for a raise, because they're afraid of things like that. And dude, I just feel like so many people in this world live to medium when all you got to do is just like take that first step, man.
I think you're totally right. And I also think that once a person tries it and sees that it works, I think it opens a whole new world to them. Mm-hmm. Do you have any friends? I'm thinking of like one person, maybe two people in particular in my life that like don't really think rules apply. And not in an anarchist way, but really more like better to ask for forgiveness than permission. And also like if there isn't a real consequence, then it's not a real rule, and so they just do things, and you're like, you can't do that, you can't do that, and then they do it and you're like, oh my god, you can just do that. That type of confidence, like they're pretty fun to be around, because they break my like caged in view of the world, and like the thing like I have all the same ideas, like, oh, I wish I could do that, or oh, I would totally do that if I could, and they're just like, let's do it. I'm like, oh god, no, what, we're not just going to do it. And then they do. And you're like, oh my God, it worked.
Yeah. There's a lot of people. Yeah. There's a lot of people that talk about things, right? It's like, dude, let's go do this. Let's go do this. Like, hey man, that would be so much fun if we could go do this, or if I could go talk to that person, if I could get do it. Dude, go do it. Go walk up to a person and introduce yourself. That, who did I see one time? I saw Scottie Pippen one time. Oh. And we were at a trade show and he was walking through, and Scottie Pippen to this day is one of my favorite basketball players. And because I'm under the impression that he is in like the top basketball players of all time, and he did not get the recognition because he was on the same team with Jordan. I also don't believe Jordan wins all of those championships if Scottie Pippen's not on the team. Anyway, that's what it is. So I went over, I'm like, this is the only opportunity I'm ever going to have. So I walk up to him. I go, hey dude, nice to meet you. Shook his hand. That was it. But I did it, right? Most people would just watch him walk by.
Yeah.
And so,
that's cool. That's cool. You met Pippen.
Shoot your shot. Yeah. Shoot your shot, dude.
Yeah. Totally. I used to really like Pippen a lot. I bet his hand was gigantic. Mm-hmm. Did his hand just wrap all the way around? It was one of those flights?
All the way around me. Yeah. He's like 7 inches taller than me. Huge dude, right? Yeah. His hand goes all the way around mine.
Oh, dude.
And in his deep Scottie Pippen voice, he's like, thanks, man. You know, like, it's like
got the deepest voice.
Yeah. Yep. You know, you want to know who else, hand I shook once?
Who?
Hacksaw Jim Duggan in Des Moines, Iowa. Okay. Oh. At a hotel. I was coming out of an elevator. He was going into an elevator, and I'm like, you have no idea how much time I spent watching you. And he goes, thanks, man. And his hands were not as long as Scottie Pippen's, but his hands were like thick, like his fingers were bratwurst size, right? And his hand was just like this meaty construction worker, like hardcore hand. And I shook his hand, and it was like the force. Just like, I know he wasn't squeezing hard, but you just go, this guy could destroy me right now.
Oh yeah, destroy it feels like me. A paw. It's like a bear paw.
exactly yeah. What it was. So.
I remember one time I was at a pawn shop. I was probably like an early teen or tween, and pawn shop on a family vacation, not a pawn shop, like an antique store type place.
Yeah.
And I found somebody had like a bowl ring, like a Wisconsin, you know, college football bowl ring. And it was from some like offense or a defensive lineman. I could put like 3 fingers.
Oh yeah. Through the
ring. I was just like, whose fingers are this big? This is incredible. That was my first ever sense of like, whoa, some humans are giants.
Are gigantic. Yep. And, and some, the spectrum of the human race is amazing to me. Right. You have some people who are 6 foot, let's just say 6'6". Who are sloths, right? And maybe it's because of the training aspect of it, or maybe they just didn't, they weren't born with it, whatever it is. You know what I mean? Then you have people out there who are 6'6" and who can run under a 5-second 40. They're strong as shit, fast as shit, and just like athletically gifted, right? Yeah. Like the Chris Hemsworths of the world from a physique standpoint, And then you have the same, like some dude who's five foot tall who can't, like, I don't know, can't do anything. And then you have a 5'5" guy who's like Spencer Lee, like however tall Spencer Lee is, the Iowa wrestler who's now an Olympic wrestler. Like he's strong as shit. He's agile, like all that stuff. And just like these freaks on both ends of the spectrum and everywhere in between. Like,
yeah.
Blows my mind.
Oh, dude, mine too. Have you ever seen? I'm sure you know who Hafþór Björnsson, the power lifter.
Mm-hmm.
They call him. He was the mountain in Game of Thrones.
Yep.
He's just a massive mm-hmm. human, and then his wife is itty bitty, which is hilarious.
Oh yeah.
And then that in and of itself, you're like, wow, that guy's so big. And then I saw a picture of him with his two brothers, and he's the little one. He's like world famous for being an absolute giant. And then his older brother is like a full head taller than him. Thor comes up to his older brother's shoulder.
Yeah.
There's level.
It blows my mind. If you look at someone like, do you know who Jay Cutler, the bodybuilder, is?
Yeah.
And then you see him standing next to, like, he looks gigantic, right? But then he stands next to one of those guys, like these power lifters,
right?
And just completely dwarfs them, right?
Yeah.
And it's crazy to see, like, oh, great, you're a bodybuilder and you look huge, but then you stand next to somebody else and you're tiny compared to them. But yes, it just, I don't know.
Another one of my favorite pictures is it's Arnold Schwarzenegger standing in between Wilt Chamberlain and Andre the Giant.
Oh, yeah.
He comes up to their chest. He doesn't even come up to either one of their shoulders.
Yeah.
It's so funny because you think that, Arnold's gigantic. He's known for being a monster. And then he just looks little compared to these guys.
Yeah. And it's weird how, like, I've always been interested in finding out how genetics works. Like, why does a person get this big and this tall? Or all of a sudden, like, I'm 6'1", my wife is 5'1", and 5'5", and my daughter is already taller than my wife. I don't know where my boys are going to be, whether they're going to be 6 foot or whatnot. But what makes that genetic string at birth go, you're 6'1", that's when you're going to stop growing? Does it have anything to do with the nutrition level that you get when you grow up? How much protein is it, like, bred into you from what part of the world you're from? Like, it just, interior, exterior? Like, how does all this work, and how does that cup get, like, that level get full? You know what I mean?
Or not. I wonder that too. I wonder how certain genes get turned on or not.
Yeah.
You know, and also there's when it comes to, like, height and size, I mean, there are some really tall people that come from areas that don't have a lot of nutrition. You know, I mean, if you think of, like, back during the Great Depression, like, there were still people being born during that time that didn't have much food that were able to grow tall.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yep. Or, like, you run into something in China, the average height of someone in China is, you know, way short compared to the rest of the world. And then some 7 foot monster comes out of there somehow.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yao Ming.
And exactly. Yao Ming. And so who knows, right? Who knows how that all plays out? But I don't know. I'm always interested in, like, looking at, like, I get it. If there's a guy who's 6'5", he marries a girl that's 6 foot and his kids are giant, I get that. But, like, what would happen if my son was 6'4", like, grew to be 6'4"? I'm like, gee, where'd that come from? Right. Like, I don't know. Oh, was that in my family? How did that work?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm sure that you're right that it is. Like, I'm 5'11". My little brother, I think, is 5'10" or 5'9". Mm-hmm. And then my older brother's like 6'3". He's the only one that's tall. My dad's like 5'10". So my older brother just towers over everybody. Like, where the hell did that come from? Like, somewhere, there's height somewhere in my family. You know, my stepson, similar. I think he's like 6'3". He's way taller than his dad. My wife's not that tall. She's not short. My son, the doctor said he's going to be really tall, like 6'5 or 6'4 or something. I'm only 5'11". Like, why is he going to be so tall?
Yeah.
I think it's crazy. Also, and why didn't I get it? How come I'm only 5'11"?
Yeah. Or if you look at, let's say, like, certain types of people throughout, like, athletic and how they're built, right? Like, why do some of the best long distance runners come from Kenya? You know what I mean? Like, why are they nationally or on the global scene known for being that? Is it their environment? Is it their genetic makeup and that they're leaner with longer legs and they can stride for, like, those types of things or who are the best sprinters in the world? Why do certain people sprint better or are better at archery? Or is it because of their environment? Or is it because of, like, for example, I don't know, there's a pair of, what was it? Was it puppies? It's a puppies where they split the puppies up as a test, I believe it was. I'm trying to think if it was dogs or birds or something like that. It might have been birds. They took one egg and they incubated it over here, and they took another egg, incubated over here. This one egg got nutrition. It got cooler temperatures. It was that. The other egg hatched, and it had different temperatures. It had more like environmental stresses. It didn't get fed at the same rate. And then this bird over here got, it's the same genetic code, but this bird over here got, it was first to fly. It was all of these things. And then this one over here took longer to fly, but at the end, and then it was more aggressive as well. Right. So it was also like more aggressive towards other birds and stuff. I don't know how they tested it. I'm going to have to look for that, because it was all about like the same genetic code, but different environments.
Oh yeah.
Mean, like, you know, like you talked about some of the kids, you know, like I never had to spend the night in a detention center when I was a child, and then go to school, try to act normal, and then come back to some guy throwing poop on the walls.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. There's and I don't think it's perfectly teased out yet, but you know, it's both nature and nurture. That's for sure. They're also like, people can come from really good environments and just have a shitty temperament. You know, that they go, we don't know why this kid is like this. The parents are super sweet and they've got tons of resources and safe community, and this kid is a total handful. Yeah, and then conversely, there can be like total sweethearts that come from like really, really, really rough situations.
Yeah. Like, it's crazy. I wonder if those types of people have a aha type moment where, by all means, you lived in a very shitty situation and you could have played the "I'm going to live my life rough" card, because, dude, you were abused, alcohol, drugs, you know, neglect, all that stuff as a child. But I wonder if it was an aha moment where when they were young, they had a moment of clarity themselves where they were able to be like, I don't want this. And they understood that at a early age. Or was it a outside mentor that was telling them like, hey man, you are not your dad. You are not your mom. You don't have to live how they live. You can go a different direction and have a different temperament. You don't have to do this. You know what I mean? That seems to me like, because I know people that have come out of shitty situations and they're great people. No drugs, no alcohol abuse that I know of, right? They're good parents, but their parents were horrible people.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So. Yeah. I've seen that as well. I think what I'm maybe even more interested in than that is like people that started off rough, maybe as kids, they were pretty shitty and were able to straighten themselves out somehow. I've come across quite a few people like that, actually, that were pretty rough kids and acted out and bullies and fighting and all of that, and really rebellious. And then somehow, I'm sure everybody's story is different, but somehow they end up maturing out of it and they turn a corner and they end up being like good, really good people.
Yeah.
And that's been shocking to me. Like you're cool. You're nice. Yeah. I only remember you as a bully.
Yeah. I had a Facebook suggestion yesterday, and it was to a kid who, I mean, he's now in his 40s, right? He went to school, I think he was 1 year or 2 years younger than me, and it popped up, you might know this person. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, click on it. Maybe I do a little, what do they call that? Facebook stalking, see what their life is. Yeah. Pictures of him with his family, like at baseball games, doing the exact same stuff that I'm doing, right? But in high school, this guy did drugs. He drank a ton. I mean, I drank too, but he did drugs. He was in a gang that him and his friends made up. he talked like, yo, dog, what up, man? We ain't going to play no more. You don't mess with me, you know, all that. That was his persona, getting in trouble all the time and just like did not give a shit about anything. And now this guy is basically just like me from the outside looking in. Right.
Right.
That's the same thought that you had where it's just like, dude, where was the tipping point where this guy goes, holy cow, I need to change my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would guess, I'm sure it's different for everybody, but I would guess a pretty common one is parenthood. I think parenthood mellows a lot of people out and it really opens their eyes to why it would be good to be softer. I also think a lot of hard people, and this is going to be an overgeneralization, but I think a lot of hard people, there's a good chance they didn't ever feel like they had anything worth living for, or anything worth protecting, or never had they had a good reason to have their armor on, and then they never had a good enough reason to let their guard down and take their armor off. And then when they had a kid, like something in them switched where they go, holy shit, like this is important. This is something worth improving for.
100%.
So they take their armor off and they start to soften. Like, I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I went to high school with a kid like that who was just going down a bad path. And I don't know if it was in high school or right after high school, he got some random girl pregnant. And then that moment, he course corrected and was, it must have been like, he got a job, like dude started grinding to support his family. And I don't know what he's like now, but he seemed to course correct himself to the point where he was just like, dude, I got to take care of this kid now.
I love that. Like, yeah. I have so much respect for that.
100%.
Without knowing all the nitty gritty details of somebody's life, just generally speaking, like someone that has a kid, man or woman, and goes, holy shit, this is important, and they straighten themselves out. I just think that's so cool.
Yeah. And I wonder if that's like a kitchen table moment where, you know, like, cause the mom had the baby and then was like, I don't want it, gave it up. And him and his family were like, dude, you gotta take this kid. You cannot, like, you can't bail. So he stepped up and he took it and he was living in a house. And he was working a full-time job and he went right into the single parent life at like 19 years old.
Oh, wow.
At something like that, 18, 19 years old. And, you know, I'm sure there was a moment in there where the baby's crying. There's no one there to help you. You're changing a diaper. The kid's, you know, got gas, you know, like all the shit that we've been through, but have had the opportunity. And maybe that kid did that time with a hangover. You know what I mean? And we all know parenting with hangovers sucks.
Yep. Yep.
Sucks. And so maybe it was a moment where the next morning he was sitting at the kitchen table and he was like, I got to change. I got to do what's right for me and this kid. And that's step up to the plate. So,
right. Yeah. One would hope. What did parenting do to you? Did you notice any like obvious shifts?
I'm going to try not to cry because I had this thought pop into my head when I was doing it.
Yeah.
So my daughter's 13 now and I wasn't too terribly worried about it. Cause I felt like, dude, I've been in a big family. I've watched how babies are treated. I've babysat before. I'm the oldest of all the grandchildren. So I've been able to like play with little kids. All of my friends started having kids earlier, so I was able to see the interactions and stuff like that. So I felt like I had a good grip on what I was doing, but, you know, still going out, still drinking, still doing all these things. And so I was like, they pulled my daughter out of my wife. They set my daughter on my wife's chest and with the head looking at, we knew it was a girl. So it was like, congratulations, guys. Here's your daughter. Set her down. She's still covered in the slime. Right. And her eyes were wide open, wide open. And she was like, just looking around. And what's crazy, my daughter did not cry for like 30 minutes after she was born. And so the doctors were like, this is rare. Like, baby, she's crying. They were trying to like rub her to get her to cry, to open up her lungs or whatever. They're, you know, like sucking the snot out of her. Maybe she fussed a little bit, but anyway, they set her down and she looks at me and I'm sitting there looking back at my wife and my daughter. And she, you know, they say babies can't smile that early in life. And if they do, it's just like a facial just movement. Happenstance.
Yeah.
Yeah. But she smiled at me. And at that moment, I said to myself, I have to be the best possible dad I can ever. I have to be the best version of myself I can be for as long as I'm here.
Yeah.
And so that was like eye opening to me, to where the pregnancy was awesome. I knew I was going to have a kid, but when that baby came out and was right in front of me, it became real. Mm-hmm. And now it's time to walk the walk. And that's been my mindset ever since. So,
yeah. Oh yeah.
What about you?
Absolutely. Yeah. I wondered, you know, like I've always wanted to have kids. I was excited to have kids. The whole pregnancy was awesome. I really wanted to know the sex of the baby, but my wife is like, no, it's so fun to find out. Yeah. And I was like, oh, I really want to know. But I listened to her. So we didn't find out the sex until she was born. And, you know, same thing. The whole process was beautiful and wonderful. And they pull her out and, they lay her on my wife, and it's like they didn't check right away to see if she was a boy or a girl. And I'm like, it's beautiful, you know, but what is it? And then took a little, there's like some delay. And then the doctor's finally like, it's a girl. And I was like, so in love with her. But I remember when the doctor said, it's a girl, my heart just sank. And not because I'm disappointed to have a girl, because I was thrilled to have a girl.
Yeah.
It hit me so unexpectedly. It just slapped me in the face. It was actually just a gut punch that I thought, the world isn't safe for her.
Oh, like, yeah. I can see that.
I have to protect her. Because I thought, I just like, my life flashed before my eyes of like every recollection I had of any woman or girl ever being like mistreated or used or like just being vulnerable. And I thought, oh my God, like the world's not safe for her. I have to protect her. And so then that was kind of my key moment of, okay, I have to protect this child.
Yeah.
And 100%. So then I've been trying to do that
100%.
Ever since with her.
Yeah. It's crazy the difference there, because with my daughter, I went through a period of time, especially when we got home from the hospital and she's on me and I'm like rocking this baby and I'm having these thoughts like, dude, if anything happens to this girl, and I'm going to lose my mind, as well as self-reflection of how I've treated women in the past. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know what I mean? Yeah. I wasn't always the greatest guy to some girls, right? Get what I want out of them and then keep them coming back. Right. You know, like there's some situations in my life for that. But when my boys came, it was different. It was less protect and more of let's fucking go. Like it was like, but dude, I cannot wait to play baseball with these kids. I'm going to be rougher with them. I'm going to, I'm going to be aggressive with them. I'm going to, you know, play sports. Let's go fishing. Let's get dirty. Let's do all these crazy things. And I still did some of that stuff with my daughter, but it was different. Like it is crazy how it's like, oh, baby girl hurt, baby girl, you know, are you okay, baby? And then my boy's like, all right, get up, bud. Come on. You're good. You ain't hurt. Let's go. Come on. Come on, get up. You know, it's crazy how, and that was subconscious. Sometimes I would catch myself going, hey, like, why are you doing this? Why are you treating them differently? But for some reason, it's like I couldn't control it. I don't know why.
Yeah. 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 I think I did that too. I think I did try to like get my daughter to be tough too, but I definitely treated my son and daughter differently and still do.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, why do you think that is? Because we live in a culture where there is this huge, gigantic push to make everybody equal all the time. And trust me, I do. I want my daughter to be prepared for a flat tire. I want my daughter to be prepared for, hey, man, you might have to install a light socket someday, right? Those types of things that are traditionally what the dad does or something like that. But they don't get that per se, right? I wonder why in this culture of everybody being treated equally, that subconsciously I am still, even to this day, treating my daughter different than I treat my boys. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah. I mean, probably similar to yours, that I'm sure there's a cultural aspect of it. Mm-hmm. And then I would also guess that there's a long-term imprinted genetic aspect of it, that some people are wired more for certain things, and maybe due to cultural aspects from thousands and thousands of years ago, I think our bodies are different. And so the mm-hmm. types of tasks that we're well suited for are just different.
Yeah.
And I think that was those differences were probably especially pronounced, you know, thousands of years ago, yeah. when there's like a bigger, stronger body could just do more physical stuff, and that was more efficient. And so then, you know, a smaller but still strong body was better suited to other things. Also, you know, the females just were burdened with child rearing because there are things that their bodies do that male bodies don't do.
Right.
You know, we don't lactate. Also, the humans are different than most mammals, and that like our babies are dependent upon us for years.
Yeah.
Most mammals, even 2 years for, like, I mean, I don't know. You tell me, like, how long does it take for a deer to leave its mom?
Yeah. Sometimes up to 2 years, right? Yeah,
let's say 2 years is a long time. And it's like, see ya, you're a full grown, like, you are completely independent after 2 years. Could you imagine abandoning a 2-year-old human?
Yeah. Like, right.
You can't, it would die.
Yeah, exactly.
So it just left like thousands of years of males going out and doing things that took a lot of strength and mm-hmm. bigger bodies. And then females just plain having to stick around, being less mobile. So then having to do more child rearing and more domesticated stuff, because it's what their bodies are more suited to.
Yeah.
I mean, that probably triggered a lot of cultural things that now the lines are blurred, because there are a lot of things that there's a lot of jobs that men would have traditionally done that women could do now, because they're plenty strong and like the tools are better.
Yep.
You know, like let's say that you're way stronger than me, but I could use a tool that would give me enough leverage to do the job. So now I can do it, even though you're way stronger, I can do it too.
Yeah.
And then the lines are blurred the other way, that like, yeah, women do produce milk, but if I was a single father, I could buy formula.
Yeah.
You know, I could buy breast milk.
Yeah.
You know, I think that it's a weird time that we're in right now that our bodies haven't adapted to yet. I think our world shifted so tremendously in the past 200 years and 2000 years that we're so much different than our ancestors were 5,000 years ago and 10,000 years ago. And I think it takes a long time for our bodies to catch up.
Yeah. That's technology and evolution and things like that. Have you seen the IMAX, but Pixar movie, WALL-E?
Mm-hmm.
Of the robot who's down on the planet building like scrap metal walls and stuff like that. But up in space, it's the human race has been living in a spaceship for so long that they've evolved into fat slobs who don't do anything anymore. Like their bones, they've become morbidly obese, but their bones have, like, they float around on chairs everywhere they go and things like that. And so for some reason, that's like technology making everything easier for us, which is what humans are addicted to, right? We are addicted to convenience and things like that. And so we've had this convenience as technology has you know, progressed. But I look back at two cavemen, or a caveman and a cavewoman with a baby, right? And here comes this, another invading male into the camp, right? The man goes and fights off that other man while the woman takes the baby and runs and hides or does something like that. And that's like the most basic, like, threat. We don't have those threats today like we did. Like,
right.
And I'm not saying all of the world, but let me just talk about North America right now. Majority of us have air conditioning. A majority of us have heat in the winter. Right? We don't have to go out and build fires. We just turn shit on and off. And that's all we have to do. So there is really no threat. And when the physiology of a man, like, now I'll tell you this, my wife is in great shape. She's strong as shit, but she's not defending a guy my size off. I don't give a shit how strong she is. Right? That's where I step in and I show my once every once in an entire life that probably has to happen. If, or you step in and be like, dude, shut up. You're like, what are you going to do about it? Type flex physically. And that's what was happening thousands of years ago all the time. And now it doesn't happen anymore.
Right.
So now women look at men differently and men look at women differently, and the culture has changed, and there's no need there's no real need to be big, bad, and strong as an attribute anymore, as opposed to what the need was thousands of years ago.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I agree with you. Also, it's interesting because we still have relatively the same brains as our ancestors did. We're still running the same operating systems as our ancestors did. And so it's interesting that we would still have the same like alarm system and the same threat detection system that's like always trying to read our environment, but our environment's generally really safe. So it kind of confuses those systems. If and I'm always like ready for an ambush, but an ambush never comes, then I look like a freaking anxious mess.
Yeah. And you become desensitized to any type of that over the years, right? Where it's like, I go to bed, I lock my doors, and I fall asleep real easy. I don't live in a cave where there's one giant opening, or in a brick house that has wooden doors that, like, in the settlement times where I could just literally kick it in, you know, type of deal. And I don't know. Evolution is fascinating to me. I always say, like, I watch the X-Men movies, or I watch the shows where humans start to mutate over the years and mutations start to become like, I wonder what the next step of human evolution looks like. Like, has technology made us so comfortable that we actually devolve? You know what I mean? Like, AI comes and says, hey, here's what you need to survive. Okay. Here's what we need. And now this computer system's doing everything for us, and we don't need to know math anymore. And we don't need to use all of the functions of our brain anymore because something else is taking care of us.
Yeah. Yeah. So, right. Yeah. That you grow due to stress, and if stress is reduced, then you would stop growing and could start shrinking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you just think about, can you think about what the average, compare the average farm kid in the 1920s compared to like the average kid that our kids go to school with.
Oh my God.
How would you guess?
Yeah.
I bet those kids were strong as fuck. The little boys and the little girls. I bet they were fucking like tough as shit compared to our kids.
Oh dude, they would bully our kids today. They would bully them. They would be so shocked. I mean, you hear about even in our family, 17-year-olds volunteering to go to World War II. Like, they were lying about their age to go to World War II. Or in Russia, it was anybody who could carry a gun. 14-year-old kids, even smaller, were going to war, right? Against my boy, right now, who is just like, if I tell him bedtime's at, you know, like, hey, bedtime's 9:30. Well, I don't want to go to bed now. Like,
Yeah.
I asked my boy to mow the yard and he threw a temper tantrum the other day. And I'm just like, what am I doing wrong here, dude? Like, there's, and then you look at what, have you ever seen what a male high school student looked like in the 1980s versus what they look like today? They're grown ass men in some instances versus what they look like today. And they're still very youthful looking. Mm. And I don't know if that's just like the different types of photography, but what a 17 looked like with like mustaches and beards. And you don't see that today. I don't know if that's culture.
Yeah. I don't fashion. Know. I don't have a sense of that. I do have a sense of like, if you see a picture of a beach full of people in the 1970s, you won't see a single obese person. And if you take a picture of a full beach now, it's I think obese people are probably the norm. It's probably fewer fit people. Yeah. Our lives are so much different now.
Well, they changed the body mass index or the food triangle pyramid recently, right? And so when you look at what the average man used to be like, I believe it was like 170. I'm 6'1", I should weigh 180 pounds. That would be exactly what it should be. And I haven't been 180 pounds since probably seventh grade.
Right.
Right. So is that just the processed food? Is it the human body getting bigger because we're able to eat more calories? I'm guessing it's the food. It's just shit. And it's available to us. Like last night, all I had to do was drive through a drive through and order ice cream and a hamburger. Like I didn't need it, but I got it. You know what I mean? Right.
Have so much more access to calories now.
Yeah,
it is interesting. I wonder what else there is to people just getting bigger, and if that is a thing. I assume that it's a thing that we're all just getting bigger, generally speaking. Mm-hmm. My dad collects and restores antique cars. So I grew up around antique cars, and he still has some of them that he's built over the years. And I've gotten to drive them. And dude, I'm going to tell you, if you get into a 1929 Model A, Ford Model A Roadster or pickup or something, it is tiny.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just absolutely little. You would be so crunched and crammed in there. And that was normal back then.
Mm-hmm.
Like they didn't need to make them bigger because people weren't that big.
Right.
You know, every single car is just tiny and cramped and itty bitty. And you're like, these people had to have been smaller because nobody would design a car that small.
Right.
Like they're we're just bigger now. It's really strange.
Yeah. We're just a bunch of fat pieces of shit.
Not you and I are, not everybody. Everybody. I know plenty of fit people. I want to get back among them. Actually, this is day three of intermittent fasting for me. I used to intermittent fast and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And I felt way better when I was on it and my weight improved a lot. And I got away from it. And lately I've been thinking about my health and taking care of myself, and not liking the direction that my health and my body have been going. And so, I've decluttered my basement so I can start using my workout area again. And I've just day three of intermittent fasting, but I'm getting back to that. And I already feel better. Yeah. It's super nice.
I got my knee replacement. Yesterday I got an injection in my shoulder, a cortisone injection in my shoulder. So now I'm starting to like, from a physical fitness standpoint, I'm starting from scratch again. Right. Yeah. And at 45, that just seems like a chore. Yeah. Right. To try to get back. And like we discussed in the past, I was an ego weightlifter. Like I got to lift 225 pound bench press. That's the standard. And now I probably can't even bench 135. And,
And I don't know if I even want to anymore because it's going to blow my shoulders out even more than they already are. And so I have to come up with new and unique ways, do some different research on how to stay mobile. And it's basically at this point, it's about maintenance and longevity and not like, hey, I gotta be able to squat 300 pounds anymore. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah. I used to be very vain around my physique. I worked out a ton and had really low body fat, and it was awesome. Mm. I have to admit, I loved it. And it makes me sad when I think about it, 'cause I'm so far removed from that now. Mm-hmm. I've thought about this before, that like, if say 25-year-old Kyle could meet 43-year-old Kyle, I think he'd be ashamed.
Oh.
He'd be like, I mean, there's some things he'd be proud of me. I think I'm a good dad and a good husband and I'm a hard worker and have a good career. Those things he'd be like, oh, cool, we did good. Yeah. But when he saw me, if he saw me take my shirt off, he'd be like, dude,
what did you do to us?
What did you do to us? I think about that. Like, dude, I think, man, younger Kyle would just rip on me right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I would deserve it too.
But that's the mental dilemma of the convenience, right? And the addiction, dude, addiction to food or sugar or things like that, right? Something that people in the 50s, 40s and 50s didn't have, right? They didn't have processed food. You had to go to the grocery store and buy your perishable goods from them, right? Or like, you couldn't let shit sit in a cupboard for 5 weeks.
Yeah. And they had gardens.
Yeah. And all that stuff. So
yeah, totally. And their just lives weren't as convenient. So they just worked harder, generally speaking.
Yep.
Yeah.
Didn't have things. Yeah. Didn't have things that kept them in one spot, like a cell phone.
Yeah.
I know we got to get off here because we're going long today, but my daughter wants social media. She's 13 and she's been asking and asking and asking for it. And I've played asshole dad as long as I possibly can, but you just see it. Even my younger son, like I'll say no phone and then he'll walk by it later and grab it just like without even thinking about it. And so it's to the point now where I'm just like, we're allowing this to happen. We're allowing it. It's even if we think we're not, dude, it's right there. It is an addiction and they're being addicted to it. And I don't give a shit what any other company tells me. I'm watching it with my own eyes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Anyway, we should probably shut it down here. I want to say one thing, before we end here. And I want to ask you this idea. I don't know why it's just popped into my head for next week. The topic of walking on eggshells for someone, or walking, or do you feel like there's other people walking on eggshells for you? And I want to kind of explore that a little bit, if it's okay with you, and see what that conversation looks like.
Sure. Yeah. I'll have a lot of thoughts about that.
Perfect. Perfect. Yep. All right, Kyle, man, you're the man, you the man. And I'll see you around town. Like I always do.
Absolutely.
I'm sending good vibes to you, your family, and everybody else. Have a great weekend. This gets launched on Monday, but I hope everybody had a great weekend. And we'll talk to you guys when we talk to you guys.